May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone, he whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord bless his word that we have read together, and help us in prayer. O Lord, look upon a few sinners that are gathered together on this weeknight here in thy house. Lord, and come down, rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains may flow down at thy presence. Lord, instruct and teach us in the exercise of prayer. Lord, thy word declares, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, we do pray therefore for a spirit of prayer. We might bring to thee the burdens, the cares, the anxieties that occupy the mind and often distract. But Lord, we would cast our burden on the Lord once more. We would remind thee, Lord, that thou hast said, and he shall sustain. Lord, as we gather together, we gather around the word of God. Lord, and we do pray thy presence here, Lord Jesus. We ask too for the influence and help of the good Spirit. Lord, we seek thy blessing upon this sanctuary. Lord, upon those that come here to worship weeknight and Sabbath day. Lord, may there be the hungry and the thirsty. May there be the needy, Lord, and the burdened. Lord, help those to come that have burdens, and help them to bring their burden to the Lord and to the Lord's house, and give such hearing ears and understanding hearts. Lord, we read in the word, I will hear what God the Lord will say. It is a great mercy, Lord, to come to thy house like that. Something to listen for. A desire, Lord, which thou must fulfill, an exercise which thou must bring to pass. And a knowledge, Lord, which the remedies with thee. We pray for sensible sinners too, Lord. Oh, that they might bring, Lord, their sins to this house and lay it out before the Lord. Lord, the word says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray for the ministry here, that it may exalt Jesus Christ. Lord, let that be the exercise of all that stand in this pulpit, to thyself may honour and glory and praise be given. Lord, as the hymn says, and the benefit is ours. We pray for those who have the care, responsibility. Lord, what grace is needed, Lord, in these sad days. But Lord, grant them that grace to look to thee and to wait for thee, as well as wait upon thee. Lord, it is a solemn responsibility to have the care of the means of grace. But Lord, thou art a sufficient God, thou canst not change. What we thank thee for, Lord, is that thou art an able God, and that in all seasons and all times, the same yesterday and today and forever. We think, Lord, of the times of experiences. Lord, thy people know these times. Sometimes, Lord, it's good times. Sometimes it's dark times. Sometimes it's refreshing. Sometimes, Lord, it is as though there's nothing alive. It all seems dead. And yet, Lord, the promise is that thou art the same, yesterday and today and forever. Lord, put forth thy word at all times with power and with application, Lord. May the ministry be Holy Spirit ministry. But the power, Lord, is thine. The application is thine. Experience of the mercy of the word of God is thine too. Oh, Lord, may there be some hungry and thirsty souls found, gathered round the word of God, that shall go home satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Lord, there's some sweet experience that has been sung in that hymn. Lord, where is that experience now? Then will I tell. Hast thou a time, Lord? Surely thou hast a time here when that last verse will be the language of the seeking soul. Then will I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the weight of God. Oh, may those days come, Lord, for this house of God, that there may be mention of thy grace and of thy mercy. Humbly, Lord, oh yes, humbly. Lord, we pray for such times. Lord, we would rejoice, Lord, with them. We would indeed. Lord, a time thou hast set to heal up the woes. Lord, and that time must come, as thou hast a work going on in the soul. Lord, in the souls of those that are here or come here, Lord, if there's a work going on which God has begun, Lord, there will be fruit. There will be fruit in the time of blessing, Lord, is surely to be seen. It's to be prayed for, it's to be watched for, Lord, and it will be provided. Then there will be, Lord, praise and honour and glory to thy great and holy name. We seek the welfare then of thy people here. Provide what is needed, Lord. We pray for the young people, Lord, the generation that's growing up and grown up. Lord, put thy holy fear in their heart. Lord, we pray that they may come to the house of God and seek for those portions which shall be to their comfort. One says, assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Lord, that's what we pray for. A seeking spirit, a good desire, a right desire. Lord, if there's something good in a sinner, it wasn't born with that good. It's come from God in the first place, and it will surely come to pass. So, Lord, bless the word in this place, even this night. We think of the pathways too of each that are here, and Lord, and each that come here. Lord, there's a time of anxiety at the moment. Lord, sad times, Lord, when anxiety seems to be so strong. Lord, the word says, and it's a strong reminder to us all, Lord, there is a way of escape. And Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. Lord, we command and we commit this time of anxiety. The person concerned is in thy hands. Lord, grant safety and security of soul and blessing in body too. Oh, we do pray for it, Lord. We bear the burden and lay it at thy feet. Lord, there were times in thy pilgrimage when they brought different afflictions, different tribulations, Lord, and brought it to Jesus. We would bring this dear one to Jesus. And Lord, work graciously, kindly, compassionately, mercifully. Lord, it's not answers to prayer because we pray, it's mercy. Lord, this is what is sought for. May there come from this matters that shall be to thy praise and honour and glory. But Lord, abide with us. Remember the ministry then, may it be in this place, a ministry which thou wilt indeed own and bless. Thou hast said, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void, shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. Lord, we live in very sad days, and yet, Lord, we hope we can say that there's mercy continued. Lord, there's been a gathering in of a harvest. Promise, Lord, has been once more realised, seed time and harvest. The covenant has been fulfilled. Lord, we don't deserve it, but we don't deserve any covenant promise. But thou hast heard the cries of the needy and the poor, and Lord, so we give thee the thanks. What we want to see, Lord, if we may beg before thee now, is a harvest in the church, a gathering in. Lord, not tares, but wheat. Or a gathering in, Lord, a harvest that is spiritual, a harvest which the Holy Spirit will begin. Lord, we read in the Gospel, on one of those occasions when Jesus spoke about the harvest, the seed is the word of God. Lord, may there be those harvest times, Lord, of bringing into being, Lord, times of rejoicing. Lord, we do pray, Lord, in this sad day that thou wilt maintain to us the liberty and the privileges that we have, the open Bible that we indeed love and rejoice. That we may gather together, Lord, and none daring lawfully to make us afraid. Oh, hear our cry, Lord. Be with us each, be with us now. Oh, how we thank thee that art a faithful God, art an able God, a gracious God. Lord, use thy own word. Lord, we pray therefore for the ministers, Lord, that thou hast sent to preach throughout our denomination, Lord, wherever there is a true sent servant. Lord, encourage them and help them. Lord, we read yesterday, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Dear Lord, there's such a need. We would remember those, O Lord, in bereavement, and thou hast taken one to thyself, Lord, yesterday, Lord, in old age, but in affliction. Lord, comfort the widow, comfort the son, and comfort the church, Lord. Lord, we do pray these things may be a voice that shall be heard by us each. For in such a time as ye think not, the Son of Man will come. Oh, to be prepared for glory. Oh, to be prepared to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, to have that hope which rests upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing better than, Lord, to have a good hope through grace of an interest in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord Jesus be here. May the comfort of the Spirit be here. May there be a portion for the hungry. May there be a portion, Lord, for the weary. Lord, bless thine own word and make it a blessing. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 955. Watched by the world with jealous eye, that fain would see our sin and shame, as servants of the Lord Most High, as zealous for his glorious name, may we in all his footsteps move with holy fear and humble love. Hymn 955.
To the chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, in the first two verses. 40th chapter, the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. How many come to chapel tonight seeking comfort? The comfort that is in this word. The margin says in concerning comfort to the heart. Such souls that have, that seek comfort, want comfort in the heart. And then it speaks about her warfare, and the margin says appointed time. But the word also is before us to give some direction to where this comfort shall come from, as well as where it is going to. In the 9th verse we read, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. May the Lord appear to such souls that stand in need of comfort, such souls that have this inward warfare, this opposition that is mounted against the hope, against the work of grace, against the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, this warfare which will have a good end. Speak ye comfortably. Now, who's going to speak comfortably? Who does it refer to that shall speak comfortably? We know in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, oh, there was some comfort administered, wasn't there? Some sweet comfort administered to the to those that were needy. In the Gospel of, as recorded by Luke, there was some comfort administered. And the last verse of the 7th chapter of Luke says this, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Dear friends, have you got need of comfort? What was the cause? Her sin. The Pharisee said to Jesus Christ, or said of Jesus Christ, if this man was a prophet, he know what sort of woman this was, for she is a sinner. In the Gospel of John, there was a woman, a like character, who met up with Jesus Christ at the well of Samaria. What was the result? Comfort. I that speak unto thee am he. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Dear friends, that's where the comfort comes from. But how does it come? It is in Christ, and it is through Christ, it is by Christ. But how does it come? Who administers it? The Holy Spirit will minister comfort to where distresses are, where distresses and sadness and trouble. The Holy Spirit. Why do I say the Holy Spirit? Have you not said you would say, were you spoken of Jesus, how he administered comfort? The Lord Jesus Christ went back to glory, but he promised a comforter. What did he say about the comforter? The 14th of John, he says, he shall teach you all things. What did he say in the 16th of John? He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Bless God for the Comforter. Bless God for the Holy Spirit. When he takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them and applies them, dear friends, it's not the revealing only. We have in a certain sense, of course, the Word of God, because that is a revealing of the comfort. But it's, dear friends, it's like everything else that the Lord does. You can read these things, but oh, may the Lord apply the truth of it. We have the case, and we're wandering a bit, and forgive me, but we have the case in Genesis of the Passover lamb. The Jews knew what to do with the blood. They were to take this lamb and take its blood and put it into the basin. They were going to do something with it. Put it on the doorpost and lintel. Because there was a promise that came from the lips of God. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Dear friends, the comfort comes from God. And God the Holy Spirit will apply that comfort. He'll take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto you. Well, let us look and see what this need of comfort is. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Dear friends, I feel very solemnly about this, because people speak about the ministry, and it's God's gift to the church, the ministry. But it's not the minister that can apply comfort, is it? Oh, you that know what it is to be a sinner, did you get your comfort from the Word of God, or did you get your comfort from God himself? When he spoke into the soul, when he brought you out of this warfare, of this dreadful state of soul trouble, when he brought you out, dear friends, it was through the instrumentation of the Holy Spirit. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished. Dear friends, if there's a warfare going on between your soul and Satan, if there's a warfare going on, the old nature, between your old nature and your new nature, now that you're burdened with sin, now that you're troubled with sin, dear friends, there's a remedy, and you're brought to seek for the remedy. Sin's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy's without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. Her warfare is accomplished. What does it mean? I looked at the hymn before we came into chapel, and in that hymn you may have some little light upon it, and some of us can look back on this hymn. A time he has set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his good will, be patient and steady, and wait on him still. And you sang just in your opening hymn something of the same encouraging word. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. Just forgive me for a moment still, as I remind you of another hymn. The time of love will come, and we shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. A blessed time that is. You say, what a warfare. Be thankful for opposition to a work of grace. Be thankful, dear friends, if you are finding that it's like being in Egypt, you know. When they were in Egypt and there was a good Pharaoh, well, it was a comfortable place. And they dwelt in Egypt or in Goshen. But when there was an adversity raised up, then they cried unto God. Dear friends, the place Egypt is descriptive of this world. There was time, was there not, when this world was your place, that was where you wanted to be, and you didn't want anything else. But if God has mercy upon your soul and disturbed you and troubled you and convinced you of sin, they began a warfare. The old flesh against the knowledge of sin. Satan in the pit against being a sinner. Dear friends, he'll turn the accuser. If he's tempted and tried you, if he's led you into paths of sin and iniquity in the past, has he not now turned the accuser? Does he not now tell you there's no hope for you? You're a sinner. Now there's a word of comfort. Comfort, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably, Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Time of love will come, and each shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. What a blessing, dear friends, when in the midst of all this warfare, there's a hope raised up. Like the old ministers used to call, a who can tell? And where is that hope or that who can tell come from? Where does it flow from? What does it make? Why is it such an encouragement? Because it pleases the Lord that he has brought the gospel to bear upon you. Wonderful mercy. You know, when a soul is under conviction of sin, dear friends, he knows now what it is to be lost. And feels it in his spirit, what it must be to be lost, totally lost, desperately lost, hopelessly lost. But should the Lord, in his kindness and in his mercy, drop a word in season? I meant to remind you too, in the in the Gospel of John, there's an account there, a very simple account. You'll have to bear with me, because it was it's so simple that you may sometimes pass by it. May I take you in mind, thought anyway, to the tomb. On the day of resurrection, the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away. There was a dear one weeping. And there was no Jesus. And we read that comes along this man, and she couldn't see who he was, so she said to him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." There's the comfort from the Lord himself. Oh, hopeless, dear friends, hopeless is a sinner without Christ. Hopeless is a sinner that's in the midst of warfare. The accuser of the brethren, the accuser who incites and distresses and troubles the children of God in their sin and iniquity, and then turn their accuser. But as a cry goes out, where does the cry come from? What does the cry say? I know it says that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. But the word of God, dear friends, is this. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What did the apostle write to Timothy about? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit applies the word of God concerning the desperate case of a sinner, then there's hope, then there's comfort. Her warfare is accomplished. The time of love, the adversity, the opposition that sin is and troubles, or troubles to the children of God, sin is to them. Oh, I would testify to the glory of God, dear friends, of the mercy that is known in adversity, in warfare. Because, dear friends, if you are a living soul, if you have a living soul and you suffer under the sense of sin and the warfare is heavy and strong upon you and against you, dear friends, it'll have this effect. It'll have the same effect upon you as it did upon the publican. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the publican could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The warfare was going on, wasn't it? Desperate times, dark times, empty times, poverty-stricken times, no hope, no comfort, nothing to rejoice in. And then we read, didn't we, just then, or reminded you, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Great mercy, dear friends, when you see, or when you're brought to feel eternal comfort, because that is the blessing. Eternal comfort it is. If God comforts you and points you to the way of escape, speaking comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Some people speak about deeds. Some people speak about works. Dear friends, there's no deeds, there's no works that will take away the sting of sin or the consequences of it either. But the mercy in this word, dear friends, it points a sinner to Jesus Christ. It reveals the malady, indeed it does. And it may go on weeks, months, years, the malady. What a mercy, dear friends, if the outcome is, and the outcome will be so. Oh, dear friends, where there's grace in the soul and there's this warfare, this opposition, this trouble that sin is to you, that's the burden. With my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin, said the poet. But dear friends, I believe too, you'll come to this conclusion one day. What a blessed thing it is that you know this warfare. I'm fully aware, dear friends, and solemnly feel it, that the warfare will have this effect upon you, the hopelessness and the helplessness of it. But dear friends, there's another side to it. You're either, you and I, are, if we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, if we have this mercy of the knowledge of sin and the need of salvation, dear friends, there's hope. There's millions of the human race that have no warfare. Therefore, sin is not a trouble to them. They've never called upon God. They've never seen salvation as it is found through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know it sounds strange, but dear friends, the lot of the children of God is a troublesome lot. And so it will be till Jesus Christ is revealed. Oh, a sight of Christ and a sight of his sacrifice. When I see the blood, God said to his Israel of old, and dear friends, it will be the blood of Christ that you will see and the effect of it. Well, I want to hope too also that you can, and I can be brought to this place, is the comfort that it brings. I was going to say, it sounds very mild, to say the least, that this comfortable, speaking comfortably. But dear friends, there's no blessing like it. You may be blessed, and you are blessed in time and time things, but dear friends, these are eternal things. Now, the comfort or the declaration by the Holy Spirit and the revealing of Christ to a sinner is this, that her iniquity is pardoned. But there was a price paid for that word. There was sufferings to be endured. The sinner suffers, of course, but not suffers when if you have an interest in this glorious Saviour, dear friends, you'll have an interest in his suffering. So, how merciful if you're brought to see and view the sufferings of Jesus Christ, what caused his sufferings? Well, you say sin, but it was the sins of his church that caused suffering. But it was love to his church that made him suffer for them. Love to his people who loved me, the apostle said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear friends, that is where, that's what you'll see revealed in Jesus Christ as a suffering saviour. It's substitutional suffering too, because it takes the suffering away from the sinner. The sins of the church laid upon Jesus Christ, the suffering for that sin, dear friends, is suffered by the Saviour. And I've said recently, and if I said it here, forgive me, I'll say it again, but in the closing chapters of this Old Testament, in the prophecy, I just turn to it and I can read it and then we shall have a better understanding, I trust. But in the prophecy of Zechariah, you have that word in chapter 13, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Now, of course, immediately, and it is, you would obviously see that it was the day when Christ went to Calvary. But I want to speak of another day. We often speak of the Lord's Day as the day of resurrection. And we're reminded of that, of course, every Lord's Day. But it would be a day never to be forgotten by a sinner if it turns to be a day not only of resurrection, but of revelation. If the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to you, it will be a day of revelation in your soul and for your soul. Now, it's right to say, of course, that this day, on that day, there shall be a fountain open as the day when Jesus Christ was crucified. But should you be the sinner that suffers under this warfare, speaking comfortably to Jerusalem and crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, dear friends, it will be a day of revelation to you. You'll see this, the way of salvation in the person of Christ, and you'll see it in his sufferings and his death. I was going to say that being brought up in the house of God, we know these things, dear friends, I was going to say habitually, don't we? We hear of it and we read it, and we're made aware of the provision that God has made in his Son and through his Son. Oh, but what a day it is, dear friends, of revelation when he is revealed to you that this precious Jesus who died for his church and people, who offered himself a sacrifice for many, this warfare is accomplished. This blessing of forgiveness and pardon, it has been made known to you and over to you, and the experience of the children of God, it is as though it is the only soul that is blessed with such mercy. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. What a revelation that is, dear friends. What a time of blessing. A warfare is accomplished. Oh, but don't think, dear friends, for a moment that you'll have no more trouble with sin. Some people seem to get carried away with this thought that there's no more trouble with sin anymore. Jesus Christ has died. I had a person tell me that once, told me off, I suppose, because she said to me she wasn't a chapel goer. Well, he's not one in our denomination, but she said, you talk about sin. She said, there's no need to talk about it. It's finished. It's gone. Sin is dead. I said, well, mine's not. And I said, dear friends, if you know something about sin, you'll know something about the sorrow that sin brings. But you'll know something, too, about the need of mercy. Now, God gave his only begotten Son, who came into the world to save sinners. That our warfare is accomplished. There's a divine appointment, a blessed time in God's account, dear friends, when the revelation of Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend and as the saviour of your soul will be revealed. If you come under the influence of this warfare, this battle against sin, and the need of mercy, dear friends, God has appointed a time, as he's appointed a time for a new birth. You must be born again. Jesus Christ said, as it is recorded in John chapter 3, he's appointed a time when that soul is awakened to its need and to its poverty, and there's a cry put into the heart. So there is an appointed time when he's revealed, dear friends, as the way of salvation. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. That's what you sung. Dear friends, that's the mercy of this revelation, this time of blessing. Speaking comfortably to Jerusalem and crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What a blessing. Oh, may I say this to any soul, dear friends, that has been the subject of this mercy. What can you say about such a revelation? For she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. Dear friends, when you know something of indwelling sin and sorrow over it and distress by it, and you find the warfare against your soul and against your standing in Christ Jesus, I think sometimes to the poor child of God, and I know what it is, dear friends, to have, I hope I can say this honestly before the Lord, times of blessing. Peace-speaking blood applied brings peace in the soul. But then, you dear friends, you'll find this in the pathway, in the way. There's such a need of it again and again. We quoted in prayer Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And bless God for such a promise and such a truth. But dear friends, there'll come a time, dear friends, when sorrow and sin will once more be raging in your very conscience. And how the warfare, I was going to say, will be raised up again. And you'll seek to know what this mercy is, forgiveness and pardon. But may you and I be drawn to see the cost of it. The cost was was suffering. The cost was indeed distressing to him. Not only did he have the burden of the church's sin on him, but, dear friends, there was another burden. My God, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? It is as though he felt the separation from his own Holy Father. Now, God can't look upon sin in any degree of allowance. Dear friends, Christ was brought into the world to save his church and his people. From the Adam fall, all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Where's the redemption? Where's the atonement? Who's going to pay the price? God sent his only begotten Son into the world. There's a word, you see, that some people misapply and misuse. It says this, doesn't it, in John 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Now, that's often misused and misapplied. I tried once, and many years back now, and it was given to me as a text, and I hope I could see the mercy in that text. Not the liberty that some people put in it, but the mercy of it. It says God so loved the world. How can he love a world that he's cursed? Now that can't be, dear friends. When the curse of sin came into this world, so that curse remains. But that world that he's spoken of there is the world of the church. That is the number that no man could number out of all nations, kindred and tongue. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the way of salvation is to be known, and it is to be seen, and is to be enjoyed, and it is to be experienced. One of the blessings and favours a child of God has, or has, if I might put it so, has two wonderful ways in which he will know. One is a very distressing way. Mine's, alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, or thy goodness do thee good. Now he'll know that, a child of God will. And he'll have made aware in his own poor soul the hopelessness of sin and the helplessness and the distress of it. And he'll come to this conclusion if he hears or understands some measure of this warfare, that there's nothing he can do, and there is nothing you can do. God has sovereign ways of dealing. I was thinking yesterday, in the Acts of the Apostles, we find a man who was a jailer. Now, by nature, of course, he must be very hard to be a jailer, indifferent to sufferings and groans and sighs of the prisoners. God had an appointed time. If you follow the steps of these two apostles, Paul and Silas, they were brought into prison. And whilst they was in prison at midnight, they sang praises unto God. But there was a great earthquake. And the effect of that earthquake was that it brought the jailer under conviction of sin. We read, he called for a light and sprang in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" God has a means, dear friends. Has means, and he uses means to bring conviction of sin. But blessed be God, he's got a means to bring mercy. How long? Well, we don't know. You can always read of the jailer. I was going to say almost immediately he was brought into liberty. But the children of God know what it is to suffer under sin, and this warfare goes on between their soul and Satan and the flesh. And you find the other case, Lydia, in the same chapter, whose heart the Lord opened. Dear friends, has he opened yours? Have you had some sight of what your natural heart is? What tendency to sin, the love of sin? Oh, it has no bound, has it? It's not bound. It's not a little reprieve from sin. It's nothing but sin. Whose heart the Lord opened. Dear friends, the same work. Some people say, well, a far more gentle one. Well, if your heart's opened and you have some sight of what sin is, dear friends, that's no small work. It's no easy acknowledgement of sin, dear friends. It's a distressing sight to see sin and to feel it. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. These good tidings that we read about in verse 9, that bring us good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. I don't know if you noticed, but it speaks of places, Zion, the church of the living God. It bringeth good tidings. Wonderful mercy when you can when you find that this preaching of the gospel is good tidings to your soul. It's truth and righteousness. Now, I want to say something too. I hope you'll understand. The gospel is good tidings. But it's only good tidings to those who are in need of good tidings. Oh, there's many a person, I'm sure, in religion that know much about the gospel, and they call it the gospel of Matthew, of Mark, of Luke, and of John. The gospel, another name for good, for good words. Eternal truths which are beneficial by the Lord's application of them to your soul and mine. Now, good tidings. I'm not roaming between two texts, I hope, not too often anyway. But dear friends, what we have in the second verse is good tidings. It's spoken to sinners, not spoken to everybody. It's not on general knowledge to all and sundry of these good tidings, to those who find the need of good tidings, to those who have cried out of need of this good tidings. Now the good tidings, dear friends, is this: behold your God. Now that's the revelation, that's the revealing, that's the time of blessing, that's the time of love, that's the season, dear friends, when the warfare is the appointed, or the deliverance from the warfare is appointed. What wonderful tidings. You can sit under the gospel and may the gospel be blessed to you. You can sit under the ministry of grace and mercy. Dear friends, may it be blessed to you. But there are those specific seasons and times when you go up to the house of God with a burden and a trouble, and you've laid them before the Lord, and you hope that day of blessing will come, that your prayers and your sorrows and your groans and your sighs will enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth, and that it may please the Lord at such a day, such a time, these Lord's days, that you come, or these service times, weeknight or Sabbath day, dear friends, or even without the means of grace. Bless God that he's given the means of grace. But dear friends, there's times, dear friends, when he meets his people where he will do them good by speaking peace and pardon to them. Behold your God. Now there's a comfort. There's a consolation to the children of God, that they know the God of all grace and the Father of all mercies has raised up a way of escape for them. That her iniquity is pardoned. Now, dear friends, there's something which must be realized, dear friends. We spoke about these Jews in Goshen, that they had to apply the blood, put the blood on the doorpost and lintel, and then they will be in safety. They were to go indoors, shut the door, and stay there. The destroying angel shall come across Egypt, and the promise, as we said, was where he saw the blood, he would pass over that house. Now, dear friends, that's a word of comfort to the people of God. How many times have you said, oh, that I could have the application of that blood, oh, that I could have some view of Jesus Christ and him crucified? The apostle wrote to the Corinthian church that he desired to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that expression or that desire is formed in the heart of all believers. But the mercy of that account of the Passover was, of course, that they couldn't see it. But what therefore did they do? They trusted it. They were given faith to trust in God's own word. His word says, when I see the blood, so it takes away all this works that people boast about, takes away all this I comes into religion, you know, when self is raised up, as it were, as a means of comfort. But God sees the blood, Dear friends, he looks upon his own son as he stood in the room, place and stead of his church. And through him, their sins and their iniquities are forever removed. What a mercy. When I see the blood, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, dear friends, what a blessing to have the pardon of sin and the knowledge of it, and it is to be spoken. It's not to be hidden out of sight. It's not to be something in the future. The Church of Christ are to have the gospel preached to them, and the Holy Spirit will apply the word with power and authority at the appointed time. What a mercy then, dear friends, if the word of God comes to you at some time or other in divine power. How many times have we been to help to the house of God? There's been times, of course, when many a time, thank God, that the truth has been preached. Now, if you're honest, if you're an honest hearer, you've heard the truth, whether it's in the house of God here or wherever it is. But you've had to say in answer to an inquiring spirit how prosperous was the soul. Well, you might have said it was truth, but there was no application. But then, of course, the minister gets the blame for that, I suppose. But dear friends, where the Lord's at work, there is an application. And whether it's in his house or in your own house, whether it's in the night seasons or in the midst of trouble, the Lord speaks his word. Now, dear friends, where the word is applied, there's power and there's authority. It's not so, it doesn't come from man. There's no minister that stands in a pulpit that's got power. That's not given to him. He's given the grace to preach. And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. But God hasn't given the power to apply the word personally to anyone. That's God's work. Oh, may the Lord follow with his blessing, truths delivered in his name. But dear friends, the power is God's power. The authority to preach is God's authority to preach. But the time of blessing, the season that you hope in and look for, and sometimes are disappointed and sometimes encouraged to wait, those times, dear friends, will come because they are appointed times. There's a hymn, isn't there, that says there is a period known to God, but all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in the appointed time. But it also says this, doesn't it? Glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love, fenced by Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. What a time, dear friends. And surely there's been some proof of this in some of your hearts, or would to God I could say all of it. But the Lord knows where he works and what he's done. But hasn't there been times when you've come up to the means of grace? And it's been, dear friends, a time of blessing and a time of favour. One of those appointed times when you could go to your home and rejoice. Where you could go and rejoice before the Lord and praise him from whom all blessings flow. But there's been a season and a time when you've took home something that you, I was going to say, find more than you could even ask or think for. What does it say in the Word of God concerning those seasons? I think it's in the prophecy of Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son. But there was another word that seemed to come upon my spirit, and I couldn't find it then. Ah, there it is. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Have you had some of those hearings? It's like an overflowing blessing. It's like a season and a time, dear friends, when, well, words don't express how you have received the word and has the word been and how the word was applied, as the prophet says there, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. A full heart. I'm sure of this. If you fear God, you've come and gone to the throne of grace and mourn because there seems to be so infrequent of those blessings. But the promise is, and the blessing is, to all seeking souls, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Jesus Christ said. And there are those appointed times, dear friends, when all you want to do is to go home and bless God for your mercies and your favours. Speak ye comfortably. But then I must come back to the beginning. Comfort ye, my people. My people, that's who it's spoken to. It's not to all and sundry. It's not all and sundry, dear friends. It's to my people. This is the word from God to his people. you'd have the evidence then, wouldn't you? That you're amongst the children of God because you've had a portion for your soul that you can rest upon in all the times of trouble and distress. One of the blessed things you know of the word of God is how it contains encouragements as well. Every word of God will be tried. Every promise that you are blessed with will be tried. But there's a word, you know, in a psalm which is suitable for the tried people of God. Those who can look back on those times of blessing. It is in the 119th psalm, isn't it? Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her war is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There is a word somewhere, and I don't know where it is, but it speaks about the words, the promises, or the blessings of God are without repentance. What it means, dear friends, is this, that when God blesses his people, he never withdraws that blessing. In the psalm of repentance, David speaks about his sins and his iniquities and seeks to be washed. But he says something else too. As you go down that psalm, it says this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Now who but a sinner that is graciously taught, who but a sinner that has experienced mercies that we've read of in this chapter, these first and second verses, and others too, who but such a soul as that, dear friends, will not seek for this restoration? Times of blessing that once have been known. Dear friends, how the tempter will have you to believe, and you fall under the temptation of the evil one when he says, well, there's no more mercy. You've lost the blessings of mercy. Dear friends, what you've got from the Lord, take it back to him and tell him, as that good psalmist did, although he was a sinner, and his sins are known as in the scriptures. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen.
Mr. Michael Pickett will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand, wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. Hymn 218.
Thank you.
dear Lord, grant that there may be an application of the truth of thy word. And Lord, then there will be rejoicing. Lord, we do seek forgiveness also for all that's been amiss. Be with us, Lord, as we part and go to our homes. Grant to us each divine protection. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.